Welcome in to the Wrestling Brethren podcast. This is episode 373. There is a wind of change or a bunch of news. Apparently, the wrestling gods have no mercy on Jarrett for missing the last two episodes, and so they inundated us with a bunch of news on a Tuesday. But with me tonight to talk about it are Seth Zillman and Jarrett Aubrey. So, fellas, how the hell are you?
Well, I know we're probably going to go over our 20-minute limit tonight, but I'm just going to not bother saying anything witty. We got a lot of stuff to get to, so let's get to it.
Let us thank the wrestling gods for content for this episode. Yes, we may run over, but it's going to be fun.
Yes, lots of news, and therefore it's going to render us to what we were supposed to be doing originally, is just talking about the highlights of television shows, and that's what we're going to boil it down to. But first, the news. All of the news that I typed happened today. And most of it happened within the first hour that I woke up this morning. So we had reported last week that there was rumors that the leader at that time for the rights to Raw was Amazon Prime. Well, it was partially right in terms of it's gone to a streaming service, just not that one. Raw is moving to Netflix in January 2025. It will be live streamed via Netflix. And when the official press release came out, the word Monday was not mentioned. However, it was later confirmed by Nick Khan on CNBC that Raw will remain on Monday nights. Currently, and I put this in parentheses, as of 8:30 this morning, and it has not changed, it is unknown where Raw will air between October 2024 and January 2025. It's thought that they may extend their agreement with USA Network, but that is not a given. This deal was for 10 years. And $5 billion with a B billion dollars. That is $500 million a year. And let's see Shohei Ohtani get that money. Wow. Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics on Twitter came out with a statement in the afternoon that said Netflix has the option to cancel the 10-year deal with WWE after just 5 years and has the option to extend the deal for an additional 10 years, according to a filing from TKO, meaning the WWE Netflix term could end up being 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, whichever Netflix chooses. The company discloses the value of the deal over 10 years would be in excess of $5 billion as reported. Also later on, it was reported by Fightful Select that Netflix subscribers on the standard no ad plan will not get commercials during Raw. Thoughts on this first bombshell?
Well, that's a lot of money in anybody's book. I've heard for years that Netflix had been trying to get into the live streaming because a lot of the streaming services have been doing that. In a way, you could say that the WWE Network was kind of ahead of its time because right from the get-go, it was live plus streaming. You could have stuff on demand or you could watch live. So Netflix finally getting a regular program for that. I mean, it's a feather in their cap. It's a feather in WWE's cap. It'll be very interesting to see what the numbers will be like and what this will mean for subscriptions. I think that the top tier of Netflix right now, I want to say it's $25. which is like really high for any streaming service, in my opinion. It's like you're starting to get into some of the internet TV packages now with that kind of number. So I hope it goes well for them, obviously, because when WWE does well, the entire industry does well. So we will see what happens. I mean, we're all going to be in our 50s by the time we see if this deal's a success or not.
Jarrett, let me jump back in real quick, because this part I forgot impacts you. For United States residents, this is only Monday Night Raw, as SmackDown will be going to the USA Network and NXT will be airing on the CW Network. However, for everybody else outside of the United States, including Canada, Mexico, the United Kingdom, etc., Netflix will be the home of Raw, NXT, SmackDown, premium live events, and all the content, rendering the WWE Network obsolete. So, Jarrett, you now have a one-stop shop for all the content that will be hosted and housed on Netflix.
I kind of love this, because now I can get rid of my WWE Network subscription and I can get rid of one of the sports tiers on my cable package and put that into Netflix. Now, I didn't quite catch it earlier, but was there going to be another tier to access this stuff, or is that part of the biggest tier of Netflix? Is it all included?
I would say they didn't say anything specific, but I would imagine if they're talking about the ads, if you're on a cheaper plan that has ads, you'll just get normal commercials during Monday Night Raw. I mean, they might be skewed towards Netflix, kind of like Peacock commercials during a PLE, but they didn't say anything specific, but I would imagine you wouldn't have to subscribe to a specific tier. It's just either you'll have ads or you won't, or it'll be
it would be 4K. Yeah, it would be insane to have only certain subscription levels, I think, to have access to that. Maybe you have to have a certain level just to get the live stream. Maybe, I don't know. I'll have to check Netflix, because I can't remember the last time I subscribed to them. But this is the type of thing it might get me to subscribe again.
And are PLEs going to be included? I can't believe I just said that. Pay-per-views, are they going to be included, or do you have to pay for those separately?
No, that's included.
I'm getting rid of cable then.
The happiest man today, Jarrett.
Oh, this is amazing, because normally I access the WWE Network through my cable provider and I get the live stuff, right? How is it going to be so easy to go back and rewatch things? I'll have a nice stable platform to watch live events on. This is so cool. Like Raw, Monday night, available for replay immediately, day after. Do we know?
No, they haven't really. I mean, they have a year. They haven't. Did not get into specifics. Yeah. I would imagine it'd be live, and then I don't want to guess or project anything, but definitely live, and who knows how quickly it'll be available. I would imagine they're going to have to compete with the DVR situation that people have had for years and years and years. So,
because that's what I do. I DVR all my wrestling TV and then pick out the spots I want to watch, or if I hear something's cool, right. I'll go back. You know, we've done this for years. So it sounds like nothing but a win for me. Now, geez, if they're going to be introducing ads, if they're Netflix ads, if they're WWE product ads like they do on network television, like that's nothing but revenue for Netflix. That's what they're looking for. So maybe the cost of our stuff goes down. I don't know, too early to tell. But for me personally, I think this is really cool. I like it. Go Canada.
Netflix, eh?
Yeah. Let me hear all you degenerates chant USA now.
One last thing is, even though they'll have Netflix bosses, so to speak, they don't have to end at 10 p.m. on the dot anymore. Mm-hmm. 1 year from now. Mm-hmm. So 10 p.m. fade to black. Oh, we were in the middle of something. Oh, well, they can run over. They could be 3.5 hours if they want.
It's the closing graphic.
Yeah, right. They can, you know, we're not, everybody slow down. We're not going back to the Attitude Era, but they can, they don't have to worry as much as they did about what content has for cable television. So, lots of options are opening up to them a year from now, let's just say.
So there was a piece, Josh, maybe that you're about to get to it. I'm sorry if I'm jumping the gun, but you messaged this earlier. What happens until then? Because their contract runs out before this.
Yeah, it's unknown right now. I did mention that earlier. It's unknown where Raw will air between October of this year and January of next year. USA could always extend the arrangement until then. That's not probably likely because they've probably already made plans for content once they lose Raw. But again, they could throw Raw up on their YouTube channel for 3 months or whatever. So it'll be another thing that's to be determined. They have got 10 months to figure it out. Or, you know, less than 10 months, but I'm sure it'll be figured out before then.
This is pretty epic when you think about it, right? That is a lot of live TV programming that's going on to Netflix. And that is opening the door for everything else, hockey, football, pro sports.
Yeah. And that was part of what was said when people were on CNBC talking about the business aspect of it, is that all the other sports will be watching and seeing how successful this is, and they may start following suit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to derail any conversation, but supposedly that's been part of the talk with the AEW and WBD sports, or not sports, but talk between those two, is whether there would be content on Max or not. And now with WWE going all in with Netflix, I mean, I think that would put the pressure on AEW to get something on a streaming service as well. They're just shooting from the hip.
Speaking of derailing the conversation, could you imagine if TK moves Dynamite to Monday on USA Network or any network, even keeping it on TBS? Anyway, that's a conversation for another show.
Yeah.
Yikes, we could do a whole prime cut on this, boys.
Right. Next news item that was almost released simultaneously with this Netflix news was TKO names a new member to the board of directors, and that member is none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Now, I'm not going to get into the boring details of this, so I'm going to give you the short Cliff Notes version. Part of the deal is that he gets the intellectual property of The Rock from WWE. And according to the TKO SEC filing that was released alongside the announcement, The Rock will receive $30 million worth of stock for his new role.
Wow.
Well, I would think something like that is done to potentially keep him from showing up anywhere else. I mean, if I recall correctly, he actually did show up in a pre-taped selfie video congratulating Jericho, I think, on 30 years. So, you know, technically, The Rock appeared on AEW programming. But yeah, I mean, it's good for them. I mean, obviously his resume fits everything you would want in a board of directors for a wrestling show. So yeah, good for WWE, good for him.
Can we get that guy that was the Tooth Fairy on the board? That would be great.
Yeah.
Everything this man touches turns to gold, right? Like I was talking with this with my trainer earlier because I brought this up with him. Does The Rock ever sleep? Mm-hmm. I mean, now he's doing this. He's got the USFL now is a thing. Movies. He's going to wrestle again for a little while. What else does the man do? And everything he does, I mean, he's had a couple of box office questionable things, but not everything going to be perfect. But really, this guy is just, he has a veritable license to print money. And he's getting $30 million more for this? Holy cow.
When Rock said he was going to sit at the head of the table, he meant the boardroom table. In other news reported today, Kevin Patrick has been removed as play-by-play commentator for SmackDown. As of Tuesday, today, no permanent replacement has been announced, but Michael Cole will do the job on the go-home edition of SmackDown for the Royal Rumble this week.
Yeah, I feel bad for him because I think he was kind of put into a no-win situation. I think he was just kind of, I don't want to say treading water, but I know that at least under the Vince regime, the whole idea of accents was kind of frowned upon because Vince didn't like people having accents. But it'll be interesting to see where he goes or if he moves somewhere else. Could they move him to NXT or something like that? Move Vic Joseph up to Raw or something like that? Like I said, I feel bad for him, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's never, you know, it's not good to ever see anybody pulled out of their job or things change like that. Well, that being said, I wasn't his biggest fan. He was okay, but I think there are others that do it much better. I would love to see Vic come up to Raw. I think that would be amazing. You know, we've known Vic since back in Prime Wrestling days.
We know his real name isn't his real last name isn't Joseph. It's Traliante.
I think that would be amazing to see him get a chance during there. So I know they'll fill it. I know that they'll have confidence in whoever they put in there. Again, always bad to see someone demoted or pulled or whatever, but maybe this will be a kick in the pants to change things up and get his way back.
People online were calling for either Vic Joseph or the return of Mauro Ranallo.
I would be fine
yes,
with
please.
Either.
Yeah. Yes, please. Exactly. Mamma mia! I loved Mauro Ranallo on play-by-play. The guy was, I thought he was outstanding. Yes, please. But I don't know whatever the issue was with JBL. I hope that, you know, that was years ago already. Yes, please. Just yes, please.
And as if all this stuff wasn't enough, we had a report early this morning of Kazuchika Okada reportedly WWE bound. But not so fast. The initial report was according to monthly Purorisu, probably pronouncing that wrong.
Purorisu, I believe, I think.
Yeah. A reliable source close to Okada has revealed that Okada is believed to be WWE bound. The report also mentioned the possibility of Okada starting his journey in NXT, much like Shinsuke Nakamura. However, there was an update from Fightful at 11:05 this morning. Fightful sources close to New Japan and Okada said that is not the situation as they know it, at least as of right now. It was reiterated that Okada seems early on in his decision-making process. One WWE higher-up said that would be news to us at this point, referring to the earlier report. And multiple sources on the NXT staff said they've heard nothing of the sort at this point. In addition, numerous people that Fightful spoke with believed that people within AEW thought they were very much in the running to land Okada.
Well, I think he will excel anywhere he goes. I know there are going to be some people who hear Okada going to NXT and groaning or rolling their eyes. And like what you just said, Josh, that's what happened with Nakamura. Nakamura was a multi-time IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, and he's basically a guy that made the Intercontinental title in New Japan worth something. I don't think putting these guys in NXT is necessarily to say, oh, you're a bottom feeder to us or anything like that. I think for guys like Nakamura and Okada, they would be put in NXT so they can learn the WWE style of doing things. Because I remember hearing when Prince Devitt came to WWE and NXT as Finn Balor. And somebody had said something about, oh, he's going to do his entrance for the first time on TV on NXT. And some fans took that to mean that somehow WWE thought he had never been on TV before, when of course he was doing that demon stuff in New Japan for his big matches. But in New Japan, when he was Prince Devitt, he was doing those entrances. He was only playing to the crowd. He was never playing to a camera. I don't think New Japan even uses a hard camera per se. Maybe they do. I'm not sure, but that's the context that they meant, is learning how to play to a camera, play to a hard camera, stuff like that. That's what they mean when they say learning a WWE style, at least to my knowledge. As always, I'm open to correction, but that's just what I think. When I hear, oh, he's going to go to NXT, it's not because they think he isn't worthy of the main roster. It's that they want to make sure when he goes to the main roster, he knows how everything works.
And it's not just Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens. You mentioned Finn Balor.
Right.
You know, the list goes on and on.
I know exactly what you're saying, Seth, and you're probably right. Just personally, I'm not a fan of this whole WWE style thing. I think there's room for letting everybody, like letting talent be who they are to be and what brought them to the dance. And when you start making them go in a certain pattern or platform or style, it kind of hinders that a little bit. They let some people go a little bit, you know, Ricochet has been doing a little bit more, but still, I think if you watch some of his other stuff, you watch Lucha Underground, you watch some of his indie stuff, he's not doing anywhere near on TV what he could possibly be doing. So I don't like fitting people into the mold. And you know, even I think Nakamura is part of that, right? Like he can go way different than he does in WWE. So I know that there's their timing and their match layout and that kind of stuff, but let's leave it open a little bit to an interpretation and skill and creativity, as opposed to getting jammed into the mold here. So I hope maybe it's for a short stint, but nothing programmed into the guy.
I'm going to go kind of split down the middle between your two opinions here, or at least thought patterns, because Jared, I think that was the old definition of the WWE style, or the WWE way, was the wrestling aspect of it. But since I've seen like the documentaries on NXT and all the stuff that they do behind the scenes there, I think it does trend, at least in part, or at least in addition to the wrestling. I think it's more of what Seth was talking about with which camera to look at. When you make your entrance, this camera is going to be on. When we do this, we go to commercial, we've got 2 minutes till we come back. You know, those things, certain people outside of the WWE bubble might not be used to that stuff. I know they don't do any of the TV stuff on the indies that don't have television deals. So they're teaching them more about, you know, your music, your entrance, where you're going to be looking. You know, if you're during the match, you have to, you're going to sell the facials, you got to look this way, cameras over here. You know, it's all the training and learning where these things are and how and when to react to them, and a timing thing, as was mentioned. So I think maybe it's a hybrid of the two. Obviously, per these reports, it's not a done deal yet, but the only person who I know that bypassed NXT was AJ Styles when he went straight to the Royal Rumble and was on the main roster. There was rumors of AJ stopping in NXT first, too. I know he's been asked that in interviews. I just don't really remember what his answer was. But we will have to see. His contract is up January 31st, 4 days after the Rumble. I wouldn't mark him on your prop bets for predictions later in the week. But stranger things have happened. Next news item, TNA Wrestling looking to secure a major TV network deal. This, according to Santino Marella, who was giving an interview with Busted Open Radio. It came out during the interview that he says that TNA is looking to get a deal that's more nationwide than Access Television. And he says that essentially if a deal is made with a major network that is in everybody's homes or in at least way more homes than Access, that's when TNA will ascend to the next level.
Basically kind of the level they were at about 10 years ago, I guess. But, geez, maybe even 15. But, hey, if they get it, good for them. I'll be honest. I know as a guy who used to be kind of thought of as being like the main TNA guy, I have not watched them regularly in almost 10 years now. I think once I just started watching New Japan, I kind of just forgot about caring about Impact Wrestling or TNA. But I've heard that their stuff's a lot better now, so I do kind of owe it to them to check it out. And really, I think just about any cable network that is on any tier bigger than Access would have to be considered an improvement. And I could certainly see them going to, heck, for all we know, they could wind up in USA now with all this talk. I'm not saying that's a prediction. Not as likely if USA is getting SmackDown, but just kind of spouting off the top of my head here. It would be cool to see them make some sort of comeback and become the TNA that they were circa 2005 to 2010 or so, when they kind of really were the alternative to an extent. But they certainly don't need a six-sided ring to do that. I don't know if the press talk anything about that, but yeah, I just hope they do make that comeback.
Bring back the Ultimate X match. Yeah, no, I obviously hope they get to that next level again, or back to that level again. You mentioned Santino Marella, and I've been on a kick of his lately. I've been watching all kinds of YouTube stuff. His interview with Chris Van Vliet is his original big one. Watched his debut, and I keep meaning to watch because I'm a big Santino fan, and I just don't have the time to do it. If it was on a bigger network that, you know, that I had access to, that I could DVR, absolutely, I'd be catching it that way. So yeah, let's hope they pick something up.
And in our last piece of news, it's kind of this day in history. Today is the 40 year anniversary of Hulk Hogan defeating the Iron Sheik to capture the WWF. Wasn't three W's back then,
right? Yeah, it was two W's then.
Yeah, WWF World Heavyweight Title, the big green strap.
Yep. And obviously, I don't need to spend too much time on this. Everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is. Everybody's probably seen that match. But boy, talk about something that makes you feel old. But as I said in a recent edition of Geekville Radio, 1984 may be like the greatest year of the 1980s as a whole, because it was like a mishmash of all sorts of pop culture. Won't get into that here because it's, you know, a wrestling podcast, but the 40th anniversary in 1984 is something that will kind of be near in my heart for the entire year.
And I think WWE is planning all kinds of celebrations and stuff around this as we get closer to that date, but it'll be good to see some of that stuff back on TV again, perhaps even see Hogan himself. I know they're talking about potential appearances. I don't know if that's going to happen yet or not, but what a moment in wrestling history, and, you know, kicked off the legend, I guess, that is Hulkamania. It's still running wild today. And what would wrestling be now without that happening? Right. Pretty epic.
I'm sorry, Jared. I had a moment in my head of one of those social media trends where you said still running wild today. And in my head, I'm like, is it though? the date is today. That 40 years ago is today when he defeated the Sheik, but he was on Raw last night, not live. He was in a pre-recorded segment. And they're releasing Target exclusive 40-year anniversary action figures of Hulk Hogan. And I fast forwarded through this segment twice, but I have not deleted Raw off the DVRs. I want to go back and see this because apparently he says something during the segment about, you never know, brother, I might have one more left in me. And I'm like, oh, please, for the love of God, no.
His arms aren't what they used to be, obviously, but for a 70-year-old man, the dude's got some pipes.
Okay, so that is the news, and I'm exhausted. But we had two television shows that we will hit the highlights of. Monday Night Raw from last night was kicked off by Seth Rollins. This was basically everything that anyone was tuning in for because Seth was going to be addressing his future, his injuries, and what happens to the world heavyweight title. He confirmed that he does have a grade 2 MCL tear, and he has a partial tear of his medial meniscus. He said the doctors told him that if he has surgery, he will be out 3 to 4 months, taking him out of WrestleMania. He was interrupted by Gunther. I'm not going to get into that, but essentially he tells Gunther that before you interrupted me, I was going to say to hell with what the doctors are telling me. I'll be damned if I'm going to lose my spot in WrestleMania. I will do the rehab. I will do whatever it takes, and I will walk in to WrestleMania, the world heavyweight champion, and I will do whatever it takes to walk out the same way. So Seth pretty much confirms the injury, that he probably won't be doing any matches between now and then, so we're going to be promo heavy with Seth Rollins, and he will be at WrestleMania. He will likely drop the title, and then he will get whatever he needs fixed, and probably be back at the end of the summer.
That would probably be the best case scenario at this point. Just keep him out of the ring until Mania. Let him rehab, do whatever he can to get better. And then if he drops the title, then go have the surgery, and that should bring him back in time for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I agree. And who knows, maybe he's Cena-esque or Triple H-esque, and you know, he's an elite athlete perhaps with the right rehab, and he's back even faster. Who knows? But yeah, health, obviously more important than anything else. Hope he does it the right way and stays as healthy as possible.
Another segment worth speaking about was the face-to-face promo off between the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. Basically, this was Punk telling a story of how Dusty Rhodes called him in 2007 and said, "Hey, look, my son is going to be joining OVW and starting his wrestling journey. Could you do me a favor and look after him?" And Punk says, "When the American Dream asks you for a favor, you say yes." But he says that Cody didn't really need any intervention from Punk. He was a guy who could take care of himself. He could get himself out of any trouble that he got into by talking his way out of it. And Punk is proud of the man and the character and the main event championship caliber performer that stands in front of him. He is proud of who he has become. But he feels that on Saturday, he will be breaking a promise because he is not going to be looking after Cody. He is going to be coming for Cody. If their paths cross in the Rumble, he will punch him in the face and he will throw him over the top rope. He then says that he didn't have the famous dad that Cody had. His dad was a regular blue-collar worker. His dad was an electrician. And Punk says, and ironically, that makes him more of the American Dream than he is. Then Cody retaliates with that he wants to talk about the pipe bomb. And he says that Punk sat up there on that stage and he said some things and he basically laid the groundwork for what it takes to launch a revolution. And then he left. And when he left, he really left. And he didn't care about passing the torch. He kind of just dropped it on his way out. But you know, and the fans know who picked it up. And Cody says that I did. And Cody says, I literally did everything you said in that promo. You talked it, I walked it. And ironically, that makes me more CM Punk than you. And the crowd goes, ooh. And basically, that was the gist of the promo between these two. And they're really hyping it and driving it home that one of these two will win the Men's Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it does sound to me like they're either going to be the last two in, or they're going to have that moment kind of similar to like Hogan and Warrior had way back when, or maybe they'll do like what Shawn and Taker did, where they practically have a full match at the end there. But somebody's also probably turning out of this, I think. So whichever one doesn't win the Rumble is probably going to get the shot at Seth. The one who does win the Rumble will probably have the shot at Roman. Just shoot from the hip.
Likely an unpopular opinion, but this is our show and I'll say it anyway, is I really couldn't give two shits about this. One, you guys know how I feel about CM Punk. Two, ever since, and actually no, not since Cody lost to Roman, but there was really no follow-up afterwards, and now I really couldn't care about Cody Rhodes. Right, so this just has boring written all over it for me, and I'm not sure I even want to get invested in it.
And if you don't know what he feels about CM Punk, go back and listen to our Survivor Series post-show episode. He'll tell you all about it.
A few times.
There was a match between Chad Gable versus Ivar. And the only thing I want to mention is that Chad Gable hit the belly to back suplex on Ivar. If you didn't see it, envision it in your head. Ivar from the Viking Raiders, the bigger of the two between him and Eric. Chad Gable lifted him over his head in a belly to back suplex and spiked him on the floor. It was amazing.
Oh, on the floor? Jeez.
You think No, I'm sorry. On the mat.
Oh, okay.
On the mat. Okay. I just meant when they hit, you know, I should have said mat, not floor.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's much better.
Chad Gable's a friggin' beast. Mm-hmm. He really is. And he's not, you know, the giant guy, but the dude is like just so powerful. And I think maybe perhaps they could be missing an opportunity with him here. And I'd like to see them use him a little more. He's a little too mired in the comedy stuff, but you know, a serious Chad Gable with some weight and proper booking behind him could be a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah. I still remember all the way back in the NXT days when Jason Jordan was telling Chad Gable, you know, we have to face the best team in the history of this company if we're going to get anywhere. And Chad Gable just goes, Jason, we can't wrestle ourselves. I mean, we saw it way back then, how great he was.
I purposely did not fast forward this match because on the off chance that he was going to hit this suplex on Ivar, and sure enough, I got it. And the only other talking point really was in the main event, we had Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest. This was an all-out war, basically, physicality. And Drew gets the win thanks to backfired interference from R-Truth.
And that's definitely going to be part of the story. I think we all see it coming. I think Damian Priest eventually turning back to being a good guy. What that'll mean for R-Truth, I don't know, but it definitely fits with the story they're telling.
It almost seems like they're, I don't know if they're dragging this on too long or what, but they've had a couple of cash-in opportunities and making Damian look a little bit silly, perhaps. But again, if they got behind him right and made him look like the badass that he really is, it'd be a lot better. And I, you know, for him to get away and perhaps do things on his own and be a legit thing on his own without needing the help of the Judgment, I think would might be better for him.
Time will tell, but I'm sure that's in the not too distant future of 2024. That leads us to tonight's episode of NXT TV, and we are really going to only hit the highlights here. But William Regal returns to television as he steps out of Shawn Michaels' office, preceded by Ava. And William Regal has let us know that Ava has been appointed the NXT general manager. Chase Yu to say their final goodbyes next week as the reckless financial spending and gambling has caught up to them. But I have a feeling in this segment next week when we say their final goodbyes, and I put that in quotes, that either it's going to be revealed that JC Jane took down Chase U, or that JC Jane will do something that saves Chase U. I guess it all depends on if they're keeping this gimmick around or not. In the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic semifinal, Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin defeated Axiom and Nathan Frazier to advance to the finals. The other semifinal will take place next week. And in the final segment, the NXT Women's Champion Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez signed the contract for their match at NXT Vengeance Day. It was preceded over by the new general manager, Ava. And once the names were signed, Tatum Paxley jumps Roxanne from behind. She is the one who has been infatuated with Lyra. And she puts Roxanne through the table and then goes to hug Lyra, and Lyra just shoves her to the mat. And that's how NXT went off the air.
Pretty much a usual contract signing scene then, I guess.
Josh, your highlights contain a disturbing lack of Nikita Lyons.
Yeah, one of my bullet points was where the hell is Nikita? But it's only been 2 weeks since she was last on TV, so I'm going to hold off on that rant. And we'll see what happens in maybe after the Rumble or around Vengeance Day. If she's not back on TV by the time Vengeance Day airs, I'm going to go on a rant. Unless she's injured again. But God help us if that's the case. And as if all of that wasn't enough, I will ask you for your final thoughts to wrap the episode.
Well, we are almost triple over, I guess double overtime here as we record this. So like I said, I'm trying to keep my witty comments to a minimum because we had a lot to go through, but definitely once again an interesting time to be a wrestling fan.
I blame TKO Holdings for all the time that we went over.
I'm actually looking forward to Thursday because Royal Rumble predictions are always interesting. We do our surprise predictions. This is a chance for one of us to take a very huge lead in the first pay-per-view of the year to get ahead in the standings and perhaps stay there for the rest of the year, like I did last year. So, yeah, let's see what we come up with.
Well, that's actually Friday. Thursday, we will be talking about Dynamite.
Right, yeah. Got my days mixed up.
All right. Well, I mean, we've pretty much covered it all. I did check the headlines while we were recording and nothing else crazy has happened. I think it was all before lunchtime today. And oh boy, I don't think my boss was too happy with my output of production today. Yeah.
Did they check your internet logs?
Yeah. I won't get into that anyway. So next episode will be covering Dynamite. I'm actually looking forward to the match between Adam Copeland and Minoru Suzuki. So we will see how that goes. And as Jared mentioned, then Friday is our Royal Rumble predictions and SmackDown go home. And then Saturday we will be here post Rumble with our immediate thoughts. So once again, until then, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at TWBPShow, on Facebook at facebook.com/BehindTheSquaredCircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.